Thank you for the introduction and to the conference organisers for the opportunity to speak and for the promotion to PhD student. I should have made a correction, but I am just a medical student. I would like to start by acknowledging that this research I'm presenting was conducted on unceded Wurundjeri, Jajawarang and Yorta Yorta lands, and to pay my respects to their elders past, present and emerging. And also extend those respects to the Noongar people on whose land we're meeting today. So we very conveniently heard an excellent talk about HIV self-testing in Australia, so I don't need to go over too much background there. But I'd just like to explain the HIV self-test that is now approved for use in Australia outside trial settings such as Forth. So the TGA approved this one device in December last year, and it's been available on the market for about 5 months now. It's mostly sold online and uses a finger prick blood specimen, so different to the oral fluid test used in Forth. And just before going on, because there are no other STI self-tests available in Australia currently, any time I'm mentioning self-testing in this presentation is really just talking about this HIV self-test. Okay. So obviously there's potential for self-testing to increase HIV testing frequency among at-risk groups, but there are some important implementation issues to consider to really achieve this benefit. So here are some of the issues that I think are important, but of course there are others. And today's talk will really be focusing on how self-testing relates to other aspects of sexual health, particularly STI screening. And just to point out that we have a couple of posters from this research addressing some of these other implementation issues, which I'd encourage you to go and have a look at. So we know a little bit about the relationship between self-testing and other STI screening. So plenty of cross-sectional studies have looked at this, and there is a lot of community concern that STI testing will decline if self-tests are introduced. And community members generally consider this a problem. And also not being able to test for STIs is a common reason why people dislike HIV self-tests. So in the randomised controlled trials to date, including Forth, and this is from old Forth results, and also a trial in the USA, while there's been a significant increase in HIV tests associated with self-testing, the impact on other STI testing has been variable. So in Forth, green button troubles. Anyway, just going to say that in Forth there was no decline in STI tests. There we go. But in the USA, there was a significant decline in the number of STI tests among self-test users. I'm not sure why this isn't advancing.
It's a dicky button.
Yeah. There we go. We'll get there. Sorry, there are a lot of clicks in this presentation. Here we go. Okay, so for this talk, there are three aims that we looked at, and I'll step through them one by one. With the results. So the first was to estimate intentions to replace standard clinic-based HIV testing with self-tests as a measure of a potential loss of other STI screening that usually accompanies testing for HIV in a clinic. So this study included an online survey run for 3 months early this year, which actually, by coincidence, was when the self-testing device was approved. Became available on the market. And we recruited adult gay, bisexual and other men who have sex with men and trans and gender diverse people who hadn't previously been diagnosed with HIV, and we mostly recruited them online. So of the 491 responses we had, this analysis is restricted to those who intended to use a self-test at least once a year, based on self-report, and having ever tested for HIV in the past. So our sample was largely an urban, cisgender, gay-identified men and with relatively high engagement with sexual health care already. So 85% had tested in the last 12 months, a third were using PrEP, and over half had tested at a high caseload clinic where there's a lot of experience in delivering sexual health testing for these populations. Just 4% had used a self-test previously, and these were not the ones approved in Australia. They were either trial devices or accessed overseas. So we asked our participants what proportion of their standard HIV tests they would replace with a self-test, with three quarters suggesting they'd replace at least some of their clinic tests, and nearly 30% intending to replace most or all of their clinic tests with a self-test. Of those intending to replace any, the most common reason by far was convenience, with issues of privacy and the flexibility of self-tests to use at the point of sex being secondary benefits. And of those who intended to retain some of their clinic tests, the most common reason for doing that was wanting to test for STIs. as well as concerns about supportive testing positive and being able to test, an accuracy of self-tests. So our next aim was to look at if we could find predictors of intending to replace clinic tests, perhaps to help target interventions that might support ongoing STI screening among self-test users. So for this, we used a multivariable model with the intention to replace most or all clinic tests as the outcome. And we included a range of different exposure variables based on their bivariate associations and the number of observations in those variables. So here's a coefficient of plot from the model with all the exposure variables on your left and the adjusted risk ratios with the 95% confidence intervals plotted. And as you can see, only one exposure variable was associated with the outcome. So participants who had tested for HIV more than 12 months prior were twice as likely to report intending to replace most or all their clinic tests with a self-test compared to those who had tested within the last 12 months. So with these intentions in mind, we wanted to understand them a little bit more in context and understand people's intended patterns of sexual health testing in greater depth. So for this, we included a qualitative part of our study, which is, this wasn't included in the abstract, but I think it's important for the story. So we ran 15 semi-structured interviews with purposively selected survey participants, and transcripts were analysed thematically. So they were broadly similar to the survey sample, but we did have a high representation of trans and gender diverse people and people from regional Victorian postcodes. There was a lot of data that came out of the interviews around a lot of issues with self-testing implementation. So I just want to talk about two major themes relating to patterns of sexual health testing. So the first was clearly that HIV self-testing and clinic-based testing performed different roles for participants. So the idea of replacing wasn't necessarily a one-to-one substitution. So self-tests were often seen as an adjunct to testing in a clinic. One participant described it as an add-in to the mix, something that you could do extra for your health on top of a standard clinic-based test regimen. Participants also wanted to use different testing modalities depending on their risk. So self-tests were usually preferred in low-risk settings, whereas when they perceived higher risk and higher chance of testing positive, they valued the support and perceived greater accuracy of testing in a clinic. They also noted that HIV self-testing uniquely allows partner testing, so it can be used at the point of sex for enhanced serosorting, which of course a clinic test hopefully can't, and also can be used in more intimate settings around perhaps marking the progression of a relationship. So the second theme was that while there were certain benefits perceived in self-testing, participants really wanted these to be integrated into broader sexual health routines, and they actually wanted support to do this. So while they saw benefits in HIV self-testing, they wanted to maintain regular STI screening, as well as some of the ancillary benefits of testing in a clinic. So for example, they wanted to keep having access to up-to-date sexual health information and emerging prevention tools and changes in something like PrEP, which is diversifying in the range of options available for how it's used. One participant described, gave an example of how using a self-test might be a really low threshold way for someone who's not already engaged with sexual health services to start to connect into that broader range of resources and services available. So accessing a self-test online might be quite an easy thing to do, but then from there they could go and find out more about PrEP. It might be that first step to enable them to take more responsibility for their sexual health, but provided that self-testing platform is then linked into these other resources and supports. So in summary, we found a high intention to replace clinic tests with self-tests, and that this might be more common among people who have infrequent testing. But also importantly, there's a desire to maintain STI screening as part of a comprehensive sexual health routine where people can benefit from what self-testing offers as well as other testing modalities. So from these results, I think there are some implications worth discussing. And first of all, we've seen a lot of change in HIV testing technologies and service models, including clinic-based peer models, as well as now self-testing. And STI screening really hasn't kept pace with those changes. So Perhaps there's a role for expanding non-clinic STI testing models. Self-sampling for STIs, including swab collection, urine specimens, and even dry blood spots at home that are then mailed for laboratory testing without needing a clinic visit, is something that's been used a lot more overseas, and there's been very limited use of it to date in Australia. So perhaps there's an area for future work. Also, our finding that those less recently tested were more likely to replace clinic tests perhaps suggests an opportunity to use self-testing to reach those who aren't as engaged with clinical testing services. Perhaps whether these are lower risk men or whether they are some of those harder to reach groups who we're always trying to access with sexual health interventions. The online distribution platforms used for self-testing might be a really valuable way to link them into resources, information, and perhaps help them find local appropriate clinics for them where they would feel comfortable to go and get a test. And on this note of support, certainly with our qualitative results suggesting that self-test users don't want to be left on their own. They want guidance and support to link into to access other benefits in their sexual health care. And to date, self-testing has really happened quite silently and suddenly, with very little other resources available to support people using it beyond the very technical instructions provided by the manufacturer. So I think we have a lot of work that we can do as self-testing is rolled out further to support those who use it. So I'd just like to thank everybody who participated in and worked on this project, and thank you for listening.